translation. Thus, those who were expert in astrological knowledge and in the performance of the birth ceremony, the Jataka Viplas, they instructed King Yudhisthira about the future history of his child, Parikshit Maharaj. Then, being sumptuously remunerated, they all returned to their respective homes. So this is a conclusion of many verses of this chapter of Bhagavatam, which are describing what these Jataka Vipras predicted. What did these astrologers predict about Maharaj Parikshit? So now they've finished their service. They've done their service of calculating and speaking about their forecast, prediction for Maharaj Parikshit's future. Now he's only a baby. So their service has been done, and now they're being given dakshin, right? The grandfather of Parikshit. Dakshina. Yeah, dakshina is different. Dakshina. They're giving donation. Paisa. Land, cows, gold, etc. So Prabhupada, in his purport, he spends practically the whole purport discussing this one word, vipra. And he, slight or small mention, he mentions the difference between vipra and brahmana. And in this purport, Prabhupada glorifies the Vedas, explaining how vast they are, many different departments of knowledge. Dhanurveda, Ayurveda, Jyotirveda, which we mentioned yesterday. And he explains also the necessity in society of having vipras, learned brahmanas who know the Dhanurveda, who know the Ayurveda, Jyotirveda. They're very important to have in society. So nowadays, of course, there are many vaidyas, and many jyotishis, astrologers, but many times they're struggling. They can barely support themselves. And because, as Prabhupada mentions, in the Vedic society or the Vedic paradigm, the government, the Rajarishis, the kings, the government, the leaders, they are supposed to maintain the brahmanas. Because the brahmanas should not have any tension. They should be shanti, shanti, shanti. They should not have any anxiety or tension. So they can think very clearly. Because if the mind is full of anxiety and full of tension, you cannot think very deeply. But to speak of, make the calculations. Astrological calculations are very complicated. The mathematical formulas and calculations of the lagnas and rasi and all these things, rising sign and all these calculations of astrology, hora science. But if they're worried, oh, I don't have any money, I don't have any judgment, nobody's coming, how will I pay the bills, how will I feed my babies, then he's so much tension and he can't do his work very well. So you see, nowadays, most people that are intelligent, very intelligent, and maybe born in Brahmana families, they don't take up brahminical activities. Yajan yajan, patan patan, dan pratigraha. These are the sadkarma nipano vipro. These are the six karmas of a Brahmana. Worship of the deities and teach others to worship. Yajan yajan, patan patan. To study the pat, Bhagavad pat, to study the shastra. And to teach the shastras to others, and dan pratigraha, to receive donations and to give donations, to receive charity and distribute charity. This was the brahmanas. These are the six activities, six karmas of a brahman. He was nipun, sadkarma vipra, nipana vipra. He was nipun. Nipun means expert. Such vipras were expert in these six activities. Shastra vidvan. They were very learned in the shastra. But nowadays, most brahmanas, if someone is born in a brahman family, what do? They go into college and they study computers. They become computer scientists, or they become doctors, or they become engineers. Because they're intelligent. They're not doing yajna, they're not doing puja, they're not doing jyotish, they're not doing Ayurveda. Forget that. I have to make some money. There's no money in Ayurveda. There's no money in Jyotirveda. There's no money in Dhanurveda. There's money in computers. So you meet so many Goswamis and so many Chatterjees and Banerjees and Mishras and Upadhyayas and Sharmas, etc., etc. And you ask them, "Oh, Panditji, Brahman, what do you do?" "Oh, I'm a computer scientist. I do computers." All the Brahmins in Vrindavan are in Delhi working as computer scientists. They're born in Vrindavan, Brijvasi Brahmin. Majority are doing business. BCom, business administration. Because they have a good brain, so they can apply themselves and pick up anything, any field that they want. But they're not doing the Brahminical activities. Consequently, there's a great dearth. There's a great dearth and shortage of Brahmanas in society. Learn it. Good Jyotishi and good Ayurvedic doctors. So, because the state, the government has no policy to support them or take care of them. So they have to struggle for existence. So they take up some occupation by which they can be secure and happy and economically independent. So this is Kali Yuga. Every man for himself. Dog eat dog. There's no cooperation. There's no varna ashram situation. So Prabhupada makes this point. And he mentions Dronacharya and Kripacharya. They were brahmanas, but they were teaching. Dronacharya was teaching how to shoot weapons, how to shoot a bow, how to use mantra weapons, brahmastra, etc. So the brahmanas, they can specialize in these fields. And then Prabhupada mentions that the vipras, they were basically expert in karmakanda. So in this purport, Prabhupada gives some, he mentions these terms, karmakanda, jnanakanda, upasanakanda. So the word kanda means division or section. So the entire Vedic literature is known as tri-veda, means three. There's three divisions, there's three khandas. The Vedas are divided into three divisions. Karmakanda Shastras, Jnanakanda Shastras, then there's Upasana Kanda. So Karmakanda, those Vedas, they deal with sacrifice, with Homa, Jagya, sacrifice. And the purpose of the Vedas, the Karmakanda, is you perform those activities. And this is what Brahmanas, astrology and all these different yajnas and sacrifices, this is all in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. And these Vipras, they're very expert in these, doing Payaschitta. Someone says, "Oh, I have this problem with Shani Graha. What do I do?" "Oh, to counteract that difficulty, you have some problem with your Shani, then you do this puja, you do this," and they're very expert. So Karmakanda, Vedas, they have all kinds of teachings to help people get free from their bad karmas and ultimately attain swarga loka, to go to heavenly planets for better sense enjoyment, for more sense enjoyment. This is karmakanda. So vipras, this is their department. And to some extent, the next section of Vedas is called jnanakanda. Jnan, this is the whole idea of the Vedas. It's stepwise. First you get involved with karmakanda and you come under the Vedas. And you do your karmas according to Vedas. And you try to improve your life. And then if by following karmakanda, then you get some realization. You get some jnana, you get some knowledge. That actually, swargaloka, although the devatas are called amara. Amara means no mara, no death. They're called amara or devas. But they actually die. They also die. In the heavenly swargaloka, people also die. Although they live a long time, 10,000 years, they have to die. So one will think, why should I endeavor to go to Swargaloka? Better I go for something spiritual. So then you enter into the Jnanakanda section of the Vedas. And Jnanakanda, this section of the Vedas teaches how to do yoga, how to do meditation, how to fix your mind on Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. By philosophical understanding, Jnanakanda means philosophy and jnana and deep study of the nature of reality. That actually, there's something more than karma. There's something more than swarga mukti. There's something known as Brahma Kaivalya. There's something known as Brahma Jyoti. Or this merging into Brahman. That's very good. That's a spiritual attainment. Let me go for that. And that's the Gyanakanda section. So in the Gyanakanda section, there is something called Panch Upasana. Panch Upasana. Panch Upasana, as you may be familiar, is the worship of five devatas. Mahadev, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, Surya, and Vishnu. It's called Panch Upasana. So those on the platform of Gyanakanda, they are advised by the Vipras and Brahmanas that you should worship, it's good to worship these five devatas. Because it's very hard to fix your mind on formless Brahman, on Nirakar, what's it called? Nirakar Brahma. Right? Nirakar. On the Nirakar Brahma, it's very difficult to meditate on nothing. It's very difficult to meditate on formlessness. Okay, now meditate on nothing. Meditate, deeply concentrate and think about zero. Think about formlessness. You can't do it. So then they say, alright, step down and meditate rup dhyan. Meditate on the form. Panch Upasana. Worship a deity of Shiva or Durga or Vishnu or Surya, Ganesh, and you pray to them, oh please, give me your mercy. May I attain this Brahma Sayuja, this Kaivalya, this Mukti, Kaivalya Mukti. This is you meditate on their form because it's easy for the mind to meditate on form. So you worship them with Panch Upasana and the Gyan Marg. But then, when you realize the Aham Brahmasmi, then you take your Ganesh deity and put in the Ganges. Haribo Ganesh, hello. It's time for a swim. Because I realize I am Brahman. So I don't have to meditate on Rup Dhyan anymore. Now I meditate on the formless absolute. Nirvashesh Brahma. Nirakar Brahma. I am that. Tattvamasi. Soham. 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 That's all. Goodbye Surya. Goodbye Vishnu. Durga. Ganesh. Panch Upasana, Hogya. Now the next section of Vedas, is known as Upasana Kanda. This is the final set. And Upasana, what does the word Upasana mean? Basically means Upasana, means to sit near. Upasana. Upasana means to sit near or to sit beside. And also if you look up the word Upasana in dictionary, Sanskrit dictionary, means to be, to serve, to be in service of, to sit near, or to be at hand, to be waiting at hand to render service. Stand, like Hanuman is, he's Upasana to Ram. He's always standing, waiting, folded hands. Hanuman's waiting to serve with folded hands. Yes, my master. Because this is a symbol. This is the mudra. This is the mudra of submission, of respect and submission. So Hanuman, you don't see Hanuman standing like this. Hi, Ram. Hi, Ram. He's not standing with his hand like, you don't see deities of Hanuman like this. Like prime ministers or something, waving to their, presidents waving to their, you know, Jana, Raja, or whatever. He's very serious, very attentive, very devotional, full of dasya bhakti, a mood of a servant. So this is Upasana, folded hands, waiting to attend. So Upasana Kanda is that section, that part of the Vedas, which teaches how to worship the demigods. How to worship them, accepting that they are rulers of this world, that they are extensions, are empowered representatives of Vishnu and Lord Krishna, the devatas, 33 crores of devatas. And there's so many different kinds of worship. Upasana means to worship them. But ultimately, the highest form of worship is to come to Vishnu Radhanam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Parvati Devi asked Lord Shiva, Mahadev. She said, Mahadev, what is the highest form of Upasana? We see that the Upasana Kanda section of the Vedas, they describe worship of so many devatas. And by worshipping those devatas, accepting that they are God, Shiva is God, Indra is God, Surya is God. Upasana Kanda, this is the mood, this is the bhav, this is the mood. They are personal, they are persons, and they are the Lord, they are God, I worship them. They are my ishta. This is Upasana Kanda. So Parvati asked Shiva in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, of all the different forms of Upasana, which is the best form of Upasana? And he said, Aradhananam, Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Aradhananam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. He said, of all the forms of Aradhanam, Aradhanam means Upasana. Aradhanam, Aradhananam means worship. Worship, service. Sarvesham, Sarva means all, of all the different forms, which is the best? And then he said, Vishnu Aradhanam. Vishnu Aradhanam, Vishnu Upasanam. Vishnu Upasanam, this is the highest form of Upasana. Because by worshipping Vishnu or Krishna or Ram, you don't go to the heavenly planets to be with your Ishtadev. You don't go to Shivaloka or Indraloka or Suryaloka to be with your Ishta. But you go to Vaikuntha. Mukti Prati, Salokya Mukti, Sarupya Mukti, Sharshti Mukti, Samipya Mukti, Vaikuntha Mukti, Vaikuntha Prati, Prem Prati. This is eternal. This is the Nitya Prati. This situation, when you attain Vaikuntha, there's no falling down. Punarjanmana Vidyate. You don't come back to this world. But if you attain your Ishta, by Upasana Kanda, if you worship the Devatas and attain your Ishta Indra, or Surya, or Shiv, Mount Kailash, then again you have to come to this world at the time of annihilation, Pralaya. When everything destroyed, you're also destroyed. So this is the answer Lord Shiva gave. And Shiva is one of the objects of Upasana. In Upasana you have Upasana and then Upasya. Upasya means the object of worship. And Upasana means the practice of worship. And Upasaka, the Upasaka is the person who is worshipping. So Lord Shiva himself is an Upasya. He is an object of worship in the Upasana Kanda section of the Vedas. And he himself is saying, my worship is not the highest. Vishnu Radhanam Param. Vishnu Upasanam. The worship of Vishnu, this is the highest. This is the best. It gives the best result. It gives the highest destination. Param Gati. Because Parvati wanted to clear the air. She wanted to establish. And Parvati herself is also an Upasya. She is also an object of worship in the Upasana section. So ultimately, the ultimate worship, the Vedas are ultimately pointing not to Karmakanda, not to Jnanakanda, and not to Devata Upasana. It's called Devata Upasana, but Vishnu Upasanam. Vishnu Upasanam. The worship of Vishnu. And the most complete form of Vishnu is Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. He's complete. He's Kila Rasamrita Murti. He has unlimited, he's a form of unlimited expressions of rasa and bhava and prema. So Vishnu Aradhanam, this is what is taught by Brahmana. The Vipras are also Brahmanas, but they specialize in Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. But Brahmanas, they're real full Brahmana, an actual Brahmana, he will teach Vishnu Aradhanam, Vishnu Upasanam, the worship of Vishnu. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Radha Krishna Yugal, the Radha Krishna Yugal avatar, Prem Purushottam in Kali Yuga, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya, he's nothing other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna Yugal. When Radha and Krishna combine in loving embrace, then they manifest that Prem, that Gaya Prem, that compassionate Prem is manifested and disseminated and distributed in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he was discussing Upasana Kanda, then he said, Ramya Kachid, Upasanam Brajavadu. He said, Brajavadu Upasanam. He used this word, Upasanam. He said, Ramya Kachid Upasanam Brajavadu Veer. He said that the Brajavadu, Vadu means wife, of the Braja Gopas. The Braja Gopis, the Braja Vadus, they were doing the best Upasana. They are the best worshippers of Krishna. Because they are the most surrendered, the most dedicated of all the servants. So Lord Chaitanya, although Lord Shiva is telling in the Bhagavatam, in fourth canto, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, that the Param Upasanam, the topmost worship is the worship of Vishnu. But then Lord Chaitanya is saying that the upasya is Krishna. The topmost object of worship, upasya, is Krishna. Vrijendra Nandan, Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, Gopinath, Govinda, Madan Mohan, Madan Manohar, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. He is the upasya. And the upasakas, who are the best upasakas? The Brajabadus, the Brajagopis. They are the best. And what is the topmost param upasanam? The param upasanam is Krishna bhakti, Krishna prema, prema upasana. So this is what is taught, this is what is known as bhakti kanda. There's karma kanda Vedas, there is jnana kanda Vedas, there's upasana kanda, and there's bhakti kanda. Bhakti kanda, that's the division of the Vedas that deal with bhakti, specifically with bhakti. Because many of the upasana kanda sections of the Vedas, they deal with devata puja, devata worship. So which Veda, which is the best of all the Vedas that deals with bhakti kanda? Shriman Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam Vaishnavanam Priyam. Shriman Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam Vaishnavanam Priyam. This Shriman Bhagavatam, this is the Param Bhakti Kanda Shastra. Bhagavatam. It is Amala Gyanam. It is Amala Gyan. It's a verse in 12th canto of Bhagavatam. Shriman Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam Yasmin Vaishnavanam Priyam. Vaishnava Priyam. It is the dearest, most beloved Shastra of all the Vaishnavas, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. Also says, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. Of all the Vedas, Sarva Vedanta. Sarva Vedanta. Sarva Vedanta Sara Hi. Sara means essence. It is the essence of all Vedantic literature, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will only find a discussion of bhakti. Vishnu Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti. And the Bhagavatam culminates or concludes in the Dasama Skanda. Dasama Skanda is the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. And there you see as the shining Purnima, the Purna Chandra, the shining moon of the Gopi's love, Gopi Prem, Raja Prem. That is the greatest, they are the greatest upasakas, the greatest worshippers of Krishna, the Braja Gopis. And their glories and their surrender and the intensity of their attachment to Krishna is revealed in the Dasama Skanda, and specifically in Rasa Panchadai, the five chapters of the Rasa Lila, 10th canto, chapter 29 through 33. You see how devoted they were, how much, and that's why, what is Radharani? Radharani, who is the greatest of all the Vrajavadus? Srimati Radharani, Mahabhav, Swarupini. So this word, Aradhanam, Aradhanam means to worship, to serve, to be devoted to love. Aradhanam. So what is that gopi who is that gopi who is most devoted, most surrendered, most dedicated, most absorbed? She's completely Krishna Tanmoy. Completely Krishna Tanmoy. Sri Maya. Sri means woman, Maya means attached to. Vishnu Chakravarti uses this term in purport. He says that a man attached to women, he's known as Srimaya. But the gopis were Tanmaya, Krishna Tanmaya. They were totally attached to Krishna and absorbed in Krishna, Tanmaya. So, who is that gopi who's most attached to Krishna? Srimati Radha Rani. She is the queen of Radha. She's the queen of the worshippers, the Rani of the Radhas. So, Aradhananam Sarveshnam. Vishnu Radhanam Param. So that Arada, that Radha, is Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radhika. So she is the greatest worshipper of Krishna. She is showing the path, the highest, the Param Upasanam, the Bhakti Kanda, the Bhakti Upasanam, is most perfectly shown in the example of the gopis in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhakti Kanda Shastra. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, you'll not find any higher upasakas than the Brajabadu, Ramya, Kachit, Upasanam, Brajabadu Veer. So, in this, when we come to Bhakti Upasanam, then we practice, we are practicing Bhakti Upasanam. We are following the Upasana Kanda, sections of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are different Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Vishnu Puran, Padma Puran, Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Isho Upanishad. There are 12 Upanishads. 12 Upanishads which describe bhakti. And there are many Puranas also. But the Bhagavat Purana, this is the topmost Purana. The Paramahamsa Samhitam. This is the law book for the Paramahamsas. So in our practice of bhakti upasana, we also come to a level in our devotion as we advance. We come to something called mantra mayi upasanam. Mantra mayi upasanam. The word upasana means to worship. To serve, to attend to worship, upasanam. So mantra mayi upasanam. What is mantra mayi? Mantra mayi or mantra dhyan upasanam. This is when one is practicing bhakti. He's chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then he begins to engage in lila smaranam. He begins to remember and think about the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan and Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur. This is called mantra mayi upasanam. But this is a type of upasanam, but it's considered to be a static upasanam. It's not so much moving. In this upasanam, mantra mayi upasanam, the devotee looks at the shastra, the bhakti kanda shastra, such as Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he sees a mantra describing a pastime of the Lord. Then he meditates on that mantra. What is the content of that mantra? What pastime is being described? For example, in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavatam, of the 10th canto, there's a verse describing Mother Yashoda churning butter for Krishna. And it's describing how she's churning and she's singing songs about Krishna's sweetness and glories, and her hair is becoming loose, and the flowers are falling from her hair, and there's beads of perspiration forming on her forehead, and her breasts are moving back and forth, and her bangles on her wrists are jingling in tune with the song that she's singing, Krishna Kaniya, da 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 da, like this, some song she's singing. And then, so it's a very nice description of the body of Mother Yashoda, and how intently she's serving, and how she's perspiring, and how she's so much working hard to make butter for Krishna. This one verse is there. That shloka is called a mantra. So mantra upasana, mantra mayi upasana, means when you become absorbed in that mantra, you worship that mantra by your meditation, by your attention, by your bhav, by your heart. You look at that mantra, and then you chant the maha mantra. You combine the two. Mantra upasana, worship along with chanting of maha mantra. And then you meditate, then you think about, oh yes. So this is mantra mayi upasana in vatsalya bhav. There's madhurya bhav, there's sakya bhav, there's dasya bhav, and vatsalya. Vatsalya means parental love, motherly love, fatherly love. Like Nanda Baba and Yashoda, they have vatsalya. Parental affection for Krishna, Nandalal. So, those that are interested in cultivating, developing that bhav of Vatsalya bhav, they do mantra mayi upasana of mantras and shlokas which describe Vatsalya bhav, like the one I mentioned. And this becomes Lila Smarana. You begin to meditate on the pastime of Mother Yashoda churning butter for Krishna as you're chanting. Then gradually that pastime becomes revealed, becomes seen in your heart and mind. So this is a type of bhakti upasana. Of course, it's not elementary, it's rather advanced. But one is supposed to come to this level as he progresses in bhakti. It's not just Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Sita Ram, Mahaprasad. There's upasana. Upasana means worship, action, dedication, practice. Abhyas. This is a practice, abhyas. So then the next level is called swarasiki. Swarasiki upasanam. Swarasiki mayi upasanam. In swarasiki, this means, in English you could say, nectar, meditating on the inner nectar of one's own relationship with Krishna. Swarasiki upasana This is called Astakalya Lila Smarana. This is when one begins to meditate on the Astakalya Lila, the eightfold pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. The pastimes that are happening, the Pratak Lila, the Madhyan Lila, the Nisha Lila, Nishant Lila, Nikunja Lila, Rasa Lila, Julan Lila, all different Lilas, Gocharan Lila, throughout the day and night. Throughout eight periods of the day and night, Krishna and Radharani and Gopas are having so many Leelas. Gocharana, one by one by one by one by one by one. Just like a river, like the Ganges is flowing to the ocean. So the pastimes of Krishna are going on and on and on, one by one by one, one after the other. So Swarasiki, one at that level, at the level of Swarasiki, one actually has realized his Siddha Sarup. The devotee has realized what is his spiritual form, Siddha Sarup, his perfect spiritual form. And in that Sarup, he meditates on the eternal Astakali Lila of Krishna, and he does Upasana there. And he enters those pastimes, and he renders service there in his spiritual form as a spiritual gopi, or spiritual coward boy, or as a mother of Krishna, or a nurse of Krishna, or as a house servant, or a servant of Krishna in his palace in Nandagaon. So this is the highest form of Upasanam. Upasanam comes to this level. There's no higher form of Upasanam than when you realize your Sarup and you engage in Swarasiki Mayi Upasanam. This is the goal. To sit down and to chant the holy name and to realize one's spiritual body and spiritual form and to enter into the pastimes of Krishna and render service there according to the order of your Guru. Your Guru Sakha, your Guru Sakhi, your Guru Prabhu, your guru will also be there in spiritual form. So all these, this is all part of the bhakti upasanam. So this is aradhanam, param upasanam, param aradhanam. This is the topmost form of worship. So this practice of devotional service guided by the bhakti kanda, by the bhakti shastra of Bhagavatam will bring us to this point of worshipping the Brajabadu, the gopis of Vrindavan. Gopi upasanam. We follow in the footsteps of the gopis, but there, when worship them, the mood and bhava they have, and the sevas they perform, we become attracted to them, we become interested in them, we want to hear about them, and gradually our life attains perfection, and we enter the spiritual world to continue our upasanam. And as we mentioned, the word upasanam means to sit near. Upa-asanam means to sit near or sit beside. So upasanam, ultimately, bhakti upasanam brings you to the point where you sit beside Krishna. You sit next to Krishna. You sit next to Radharani. You sit next to Sridham and Subal and sit next to Yashoda. This is the ultimate meaning of upasanam. Your worship attains perfection. You attain siddhi, prem siddhi, perfection of love. Krishna prem siddhi. Then you sit next to the Lord, and you sit next to your Guru, and your Sarup, your Siddha Sarup, your spiritual body. Now, don't sit all day. You're dancing and walking and playing and wrestling and eating and everything in the spiritual world. Param, Paravyom, Vrajaloka, Vrajagokul. So this is the ultimate upasanam. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yeah, what's the difference? Because in Karmakanda they also worship demigods. They worship demigods only for their own sense gratification. Completely selfishness there. In the Karmakanda they're also worshiping demigods. If you want good health, you worship Surya. If you want healthy body, you worship Surya. If you want good enjoyment, you worship Indra. And they have all these different pujas that are there in Karmakanda. But in Upasana Kanda, in the Upanishad Upasana, which is part of Dhyana Kanda, that the conception there, when it becomes a little more enlightened, he becomes more enlightened because he's realized that actually Swargaloka, or just sense gratification on this planet, which is available in Karmakanda worship of the demigods, this is paltry. This is insignificant. Actually, because in Devata Puja and Upasana Kanda on the platform of Gyan, they want something more from the demigod. Like, I mean, Karmakanda, they go to the demigods and say, give me $100. On Gyanakanda, they go to the demigods and say, give me a crore. Because on Gyanakanda, they worship Panchupasana, but they want to go to Brahmasayujya. They want Brahmasayujya. They want a better result. They want a higher attainment. At least it's a spiritual perfection. Brahmasayujya, Brahmakaivalya, is a spiritual perfection. Although, Ruyakrachena Parampadam Padam Padantyado Nandrita Yushmadangraya, it says that you, in the 10th canto, you'll fall down from that because you don't have an attachment to Krishna. The lotus samasrita ye parapala, yen yeva vindaksha vimuktamaninas. You don't have an attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna. So they again fall down from the Brahman platform. But they're worshipping a demigod in Panchupasana because they realize that they're the supreme god. And they are formed for Brahman. On Gyanakanda, section of the Vedas, they worship the demigods thinking that they are Nirakar Brahma taking a form. But by worshipping this demigod, Shiva, Ganesh, Durga, by worshipping their form, I will attain the Nirakar Brahma, which is what they are actually residing, or they are also there. They're also Brahman. But I'm taking their help and worshipping them to merge into the Brahma Sayuja. So that's the worship of demigods in the platform of Upasana Kanda, which is for Gyan. Even in Bhakti, Bhakti Upasanam, or Vishnu Upasanam, or Vishnu Upasanam, or Krishna Upasanam, we can also worship demigods. It's not if our guru gives us sanction. But like the gopis of Vrindavan, they were in Nara Leela, they were acting as human beings. They didn't think that Krishna was God. They thought we want Krishna as our husband, so they worship Katyayani. They were also worshiping Durga. Katyayani is one form of Durga. So Durga is worshipped in Gyan Upasanam. In the Devatu Upasanam, in Panchu Upasanam, they worship in the Gyan Marg. So the gopis are also worshiping Durga. But they're saying, Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi, Patim Me Kurute Namaha. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi, Patim Me Kurute Namaha. They're praying to Katyayani Mahamaye, Mahayogin Yadishvari. O Katyayani Mahamaye, Mahayogin Yadishvari. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi, Patim Me Kurute Namaha. They're saying, Oh Mahayogini, Oh Katyayani, Oh Durga Ma, Oh Ma Durga, please give Nanda, make Nanda Gopa our son, our husband, Patim, Pati Dehi. Give Nanda Nandan, the son of Nanda Gopa. We want him to become our husband. So the gopis are worshipping Durga. But that's not Jnana Upasana, that's Vishnu Upasana. Because their goal, their upasya, the goal of their worship, the upasya means the goal, the upasya of their puja, their aradhanam, the goal of the upasya was Krishna. That becomes Vishnu Upasana. It's not Jnana Marg. This is Bhakti Marg. But generally we have no need to worship the demigod. We simply worship Lord Chaitanya and chant the Mahamantra and worship Guru. Better we worship Guru and Vaishnava. Because they are the sum total. You worship the Guru. Why worship one? There's 33 crores of demigods. So you go to this demigod and say, Oh demigod, Oh Devata, please give me Krishna. Oh demigod, please give me Krishna, oh demigod. And you have to go to 33 million of them. So it's not bad. But if you go to one person, you'll get Krishna. Charya mam vijaniyam, navamam karichit, sarva deva mayo guru. Krishna is telling Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita in 11th Gyara Skanda Bhagavatam. He's telling Uddhava that acharya mam vijaniyam. He says the acharya is me. Sarva deva mayo guru. The guru, all the demigods are living in the body of the guru, just like all the demigods are living in the body of the cow. Gomata, all 33 crores of demigods are living in the hair follicles of the cow. Shiva's there, Indra's there, Vishnu's there, Brahma's there, everyone's there. That's why Goseva is so powerful and so beneficial. You can worship all the demigods in one place, do Go Puja. Worship the cow, massage the cow, rub the cow's neck, get some fresh grass and some gore. And all the demigods will be satisfied. So if you do Guru Puja, if you do Guru Upasanam, because he's Sarva Deva Maya Guru, Krishna says the Acharya is me, he's not different from me, Sakshat Hari. And he started, all the demigods are living in the body of the Guru. So if you feed the Guru, you're feeding all the demigods. If you worship the Guru, you're worshiping all the demigods. And he can give you Krishna directly. Krishna prema pradayate. Shri Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Shri Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. Everywhere, in the Jnana Kanda section, in the Karma Kanda section, in the Bhakti, Vishnu Kanda or Bhakti Kanda section, everywhere you will see the same principle. Worship the Guru. The Kaivalyavadis, the Advaitins, the Sri Brahmavais, everybody, the Vaishnavas, the Shankarites, they all emphasize Guru Puja. Worship the Guru. And there's a whole one day of the year called Guru Purnima, where everybody worships the Guru. He said, everyone understands. Guru is very powerful. But we say, ah, my Guru, I have my Guru, Jai Guru Dev, Hari Bol. Ah, my Guru, he's always coming asking for money, this Guru. I give a little money, he starts dancing. I hold 5 lakhs in front of my Guru and he starts dancing. Oh. I control my Guru. This is not Guru. This is not the way. We don't control Guru. We should be controlled by Guru. This is the meaning of discipline. Disciple. Shishya. Any other questions? Huh? Someone, any guests have a question? Yes. No, wait. Gentleman is asking the question that if the ultimate conclusion of Vedas, the ultimate essence of Vedas and the conclusion of Vedas is the highest form of puja, Vishnu Radhanam, Rama Radhanam, Narayan or Krishna Radhanam, then why are there so many different presentations in the Vedas? Shiva is supreme, Surya is supreme, Durga is supreme. So the Vedas compiled by the rishis and sages, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, they understand that there are varieties, there are many varieties. There are 8,400,000 species of life. And among those species, there are 4 lakhs of human beings, civilized, uncivilized. There are angels, and there are some that are half monkey and half human. There are Kinnaras and Gandharvas and Vidyadharas. And there's human beings, and there's Kimpurushas. Many types of human forms. There's 4 lakhs. And there's different categories. There's the Kinnaras, or human beings, and the Gandharvas. And then there's the Kimpurushas. They're human-like form, but sometimes a little bit like monkey, but also like human being. This is a Hanuman race. It's called Kimpurusha. They speak, they're intelligent, but there's something a little bit like monkey, but mostly like man. So the many types of human beings. Then you have the Trigunas. You have the Trigunas, Sattva-gun, Rajagun, Tamagun. So these gunas combine, Triguna Mayi, 3 times 3. 3 times 3 is 9, times 9 is 81, times 9, Prabhupada says 8,400,000. So the combination of all these modes of nature, some people are a little bit sattvic, but very rajasic. Some people are completely sattvic. Some people are completely tamasic. Many, many permutations and combinations. This is the reality that we see by our experience. By seeing, oh, this man is very lazy and lethargic, and this man is very bright and intelligent. There's varieties. It is not all one. So because the jivas taking particular bodies are not all one, although by constitution, the sarup lakshana of the jiva is one. The sarup lakshana of the jiva is satchit ananda. Satchit ananda. Every jiva is satchit ananda, eternal, full of consciousness and full of bliss. And the potency to relish love and enjoy love and exchange love. Satchitananda vigraha. This is a swarup lakshana, the primary characteristic of every single jiva. Some jivas are in the body of a dog, or in a demigod, or a human being. So there's many varieties there. So the rishis and sages, recognizing the different types of consciousness, different types of bhavas and consciousness, due to the permutations and combinations of the modes of nature, they have written Vedas accordingly. Just like you go into the doctor's office, he has aspirin. aspirin, or what do you call it? Paracetamol. What was that? It's a modern aspirin. He has paracetamol. And he has so many other things. Basically, paracetamol will cover everything. Aspirin will solve all the problems, take away your pain, and you're all right. But he doesn't only give one medicine to everyone. He analyzes and diagnoses. Oh, you're like this, you're like that, oh, you need this. He does a diagnosis, right? And gives a particular medicine. So the rishis and sages, they have diagnosed the human psyche. They have diagnosed the human psyche. They have diagnosed and understood the different types of consciousness in the human beings. We don't all think the same way. We don't all feel the same way. We don't all understand and appreciate transcendence in the same way. Therefore, there are three basic paths of transcendence. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanti shabdyate. That's told in the Bhagavatam. Vedanti tat tat vidas yatat jnanam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanti shabdyate. The learned transcendentalists, Vedantis, Vedanti tattvas, those that know the truth of Vedas, they have understood that there's three possibilities. There's three ways, possible ways that people could understand the absolute truth. One is Brahma Sayujya, one is Paramatma, realizing Paramatma as a yogi, the all-pervading God is everywhere in every atom. He's there. He is there as a person, everywhere, all-pervading, as an individual person in the atom, the Paramatma, Vishnu, Narayan. And then Bhagavan, iti shabdyate. That the ultimate realization is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is a person with his own spiritual domain, with his own spiritual personal form, and exchanges of rasa. Sakiras, Vatsaliras. These are the three possibilities. God is a person, God is not a person. Basically, it becomes two. But when you say person, you can say God is the Paramatma, and the yogis meditate on Paramatma, or God is Bhagavan, he's in one place, and Goloka Vrindavan and Braja Gokul with all his gopis and gopas and friends, and we can go there. So these are the, so now the Vedas are divided into these three sections, basically. So because individuals have different ideas, so the Vedas, the main point of human life is we should follow the Vedas. So if you're a tamasic person, if your consciousness is influenced by tamagun, by ignorance, and you can only understand. You'll see the Vedas and you'll get, there's a Veda for you. There's a Veda for you in the mode of ignorance. And it's called Shiva Puran. You'll get the Shiva Puran and you'll read it and say, oh, if you want to drink wine, you offer your wine on this particular day. And because you're in tamagun, you like to eat meat. Because you're influenced by ignorance. But when you're in sattvagun, you won't want to look at dead flesh. What to speak of, touch it. Because that's the influence of sattvagun. It's an energy, it's a power, the shakti of this nature, prakriti shakti. But when you're in tamagun, you think, hey, looks really good. That looks like a good piece of dead flesh. I want to eat that. But because you're guided by the Vedas say, you want to eat dead animals? Well, wait till Amavasya. On the Amavasya, the dark moon night, then you have to chant a mantra in the ear of the goat. You can eat a dead goat, but not a cow. So you want to eat meat? Okay, eat goat meat. So then on Amavasya, you have to chant a mantra in the ear of the cow. Mam Sha. Mam Sha. And then you cut the head off that goat on Amavasya. Then you offer it to Parvati or to Shiva. And you take what you think is Shiva Prasad, but it's actually Bhuta Prasad. It's Preta and Bhuta Prasad because Shiva doesn't eat it, nor does Parvati. But their assistants eat it. So then you take that under the Vedic injunction. So once a month you eat meat on Amavasya. Because you're in Tamagun. But, and then you're thinking, because you're guided by the Shiva Puran, you're thinking Shiva is supreme. Om Namo Shivaya. Om Namo Shivaya. Om Namo Shivaya. Shankar Bhagavan. They say Shankar Bhagavan ki jai. Shankar Mahadev ki jai, Gopishwar Mahadev ki jai, Nandishwar Mahadev ki jai, Kameshwar Mahadev ki jai, Amarnath ki jai, Kedarnath ki jai, Somnath ki jai. Right? So he is supreme. He is the Lord. He is supreme. He is God for everyone in Tamagun. And if you worship Shiva and follow the Tamasic, if you worship Shiva and follow the Tamasic Puranas and follow the Vedas, then, in your next life, you will take birth in Rajagun. You will take birth with a body and a consciousness and a mind that's interested in Rajagun. And then you worship the Rajasic Puranas, which they worship Indra or whatever, different things. And you worship, and then you'll think Indra is supreme. And then you'll take birth finally after Rajagun, so many births. If you follow Vedas, this is the fruit. This is the Veda, the Shuti Phal. This is the fruit of following the teachings and the verses of the Vedas. Then you'll take birth in Sattvagun. And you'll have sattvic consciousness. And you'll think, I want to be a vegetarian. You'll think like that. I want to be a vegetarian. And I want to do yoga. And I want to meditate. And I think the supreme is Brahman. And I want to live a pure life, a sattvic life. That's the influence. That's the prabhav of Sattvagun. And there's many shastras in Sattvagun. Yoga shastras, Jnana Yoga, Raja Yoga. And you'll follow those. And you'll take a birth with some Sattvagun and Rajagun. You may be a Vaishya. Then more Sattvagun and more and less, you know, and then you'll become Kshatriya, and then finally more Sattvagun, a predominance of Sattvagun, a little Rajagun, a little maybe Tamagun, then you'll be a Brahmin. Then gradually you'll come to the platform that Vishnu is the highest. So the Vedas are meant to bring every human being to the final conclusion. Vedashta Savar Aham Eva Vedo Vinatakrit Veda Veda Shaham. Vishnu says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the compiler of the Vedas, I am the knower of the Vedas. Vedaishcha Savaraham Eva Vedyo Vedantakrit Veda Vedevachaham. And I am the knower. The Vedas culminate in Krishna worship. So that all the Vedas are good. If someone is guided by Vedas, he will get a good result. He will get the blessings of Shiva and Indra and Surya. And finally, when he really gets the blessings of Shiva, he will become a Krishna Bhakta. Many devotees sitting in this room were Shiva Bhaktas in their last life. Or in this life also. And they kept Monday fast. And they did their puja. And they went to Vaishnav Devi for darshan and Kedarnath and so many yatras. And they were always praying, oh Shiva, please give me the best thing. I'm your bhakta, please bless me. Oh, please give me your mercy. So he said, alright, I'll give you my mercy. I will give you my Ishtadev. I will give you my Ishtadev. Who is the Ishtadev of Shiva? If Shiva is God, how come he worships somebody else? If he's the topmost supreme being, why is Shiva doing puja to Sankarshan? Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the form of Vishnu. Krishna's expansion. Krishna expands in the Balaram. Balaram expands in the Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha is Vasudev. Vasudev Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And Lord Shiva, he worships that Sankarshan. That's why he has his Ananta Shesh, because Ananta Shesh is a form of Sankarshan. Holding up the universe. You know, Ananta Shesh, from the universe on the top. So he has Ananta Shesh, he has his Ishtadev around his neck. It's not some mundane sarp. Or cobra. This is Sankarshan. And what is the mantra that Lord Shiva chants? Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. No Krishna, because Sankarshan's name, the mantra for Sankarshan is Ram. He's Sankarshan Ram. So this is the beauty of the Vedas. It's all inclusive. It includes everyone. You're in Tamagun? Okay, great. Come on board. You're welcome on my boat. Oh, you're in Rajagun? Come on. You're in Sattvagun? Come on, everybody. The Vedas are all inclusive. They're not exclusive. No one is excluded. You want to eat meat? Okay, eat meat. You want to drink whiskey? Okay, drink whiskey. But worship Shiva. Follow the Vedas. Don't eat cow. Only eat goat. And only on Amavasya. Once a month? Okay, go for it. If you got a refrigerator, I guess you can keep it for the rest of the month. Kill one big goat on Amavasya. Only one day you can kill Amavasya. And you freeze, keep it frozen for the rest of the month. So everybody's welcome. This is the beauty. This is symbolic of India. The whole India means swagatam, swagatam, swagatam. Come on, Muslims, come on in. Take over our country. Great, here's our country. So they came in and took it over for 2,000 years. Swagatam, Muslims. Swagatam, British. Swagatam, French, Dutch, German. Every French. They all came and bit off India here and there. And India just said, folded their hands, said, swagatam, France. Swagatam, Holland. Swagatam, in England.